Welcome to the Speaker's Practice and our Friday Forum. Hi, I'm Adrienne McLean, the founder of the Speaker's Practice. The Friday Forum is for business people. This is a free 30-minute session where you will meet amazing business people who have experience in a wide variety of topics. You will hear fabulous approaches from experts in their field. Today, it's our pleasure to have Matt Barnett with us. Matt is an innovator, an entrepreneur, a creative adrenaline junkie, and he even wears a kilt. Matt spends his days away from the office placing ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances. The statistics say that 90% of communication is visual, so why do we rely so much on written feedback? It's here that Matt got an idea. Why not use smartphone video surveys to replace focus groups and written feedback? Receive thousands of meaningful visual insights at the click of a button and a fraction of the cost. Matt's latest startup, Verbate.co, lets you simply text, email, video interviews so that anyone in the world can see. This simple link opens their smartphone camera, on which they respond instantly, filming themselves, their workplace, home, or wherever you desire. Verbate is working with some of the world's leading brands and agencies, and would like to introduce it to you. Hi there, Matt. Welcome.
Hi, Jen.
Great to have you with us today.
Good to be here.
So,
indeed.
What is this startup space?
Startup space. Well, like startups, I guess what the term generally refers to is a type of business whereby you're looking at a new technology, new idea. It doesn't necessarily have to be online, but it's something new, and you go out there, and generally it follows a process of testing out an idea and then going through raising money. And these are businesses that generally scale up very fast. So where you have your traditional business where you might grow organically, that's not really termed a startup. A startup is a business whereby, you know, you can raise money and you can go from, you know, 500 to 10,000 users in a matter of months rather than years. That lends itself to the kind of process of, you know, raising money, growing very, very quickly. You see a lot of acquisitions, a lot of exits in the market. And generally, if you're in that kind of space, I guess you're classed as a startup.
So it really is technology-based?
Technology, look, I think everything in the world, every business now is technology-based to an extent.
Yeah.
Nothing exists without technology. That's just the world we live in.
Yes.
So yes, in that extent, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be online. The majority of those businesses are online because they can be scaled up very quickly.
Yeah.
But there are startups that are product-based. You know, so you have someone release a new product, and they'll go out and they'll raise money and they'll grow that business overnight as well.
Yes.
So it's not just technology. It is offline businesses as well, but it needs to follow a certain growth curve.
So this brings us into our first question about, you know, you have this idea. And how is it possible to get this idea to turn it into a business?
Okay, so I'm going to be a little bit candid here and say that it's not actually the idea that is the most important part of starting a business. I think there are a lot of good ideas out there. Mm-hmm. Every single person in the world has probably at least 5 good ideas that could become businesses. Mm-hmm. Where the key is its implementation. So I think once you have a good or great idea, actually getting that to market is where the difficulty lies. And a lot of people don't realize this. I think people think they have a great idea, that's enough. It's not. The world is full of great ideas that have failed because they haven't got to market.
Yes.
Quite simply.
Yes.
I mean, Dyson took 18 years to get his vacuum cleaner into the world. He did have a lot of perseverance, but it was always a great idea from day one. But to find his route to market took him, you know, nigh on 20 years. So I think the main place to start is, I think, question yourself and see if you have the tenacity to go through what it will take to actually bring that idea to market, because it's not something that will happen tomorrow. You know, you'll need to develop that idea. You'll need to test it. You'll need to prototype it. You'll need to get first customers on board. You'll need to get exposure. And it will take, I mean, usually you're looking at 2 years to really start to build a business foundation. Mm-hmm. One of the ways it helps, if this is your first idea, your first business, is to find a great business partner. This is not quite right for everyone, but for a lot of people, I think starting a new business with somebody else where you share the load and share the risk and share the highs and the lows can be a really great way to kick it off. It makes the whole, I guess, enterprise a little less scary.
You've touched on this a bit, but how are startups different from other types of businesses?
Yes, I mean, as I said earlier, kind of a growth strategy. I mean, I'll tell you what was not a startup. Things like services industries generally aren't startups. Generally, I say that.
Yeah.
So when you've got your business is relying on human resources as its main scaling factor, that's something that's quite hard to scale up. If I start a consultancy or a new agency, I need to win jobs to then bring someone on board to then grow, and you know, the chances are I'll grow, you know, relatively slowly.
Yeah.
Startups really come down to a business that can scale and scale fast, and you know, it's something that grows off with minimal inputs and funds to get going, and then starts to raise significant funds in order to, I guess, times what you've discovered by 10,000 and really, really scale up. So again, not to say that a lot of service industries now starting to become technology-based as well. There's things like Airtasker out there, which is, you know, providing cost-effective HR, and the platform that that's built on is very, very scalable. So just a little bit of a, yeah, I think mostly based upon growth cycle, size. The thing that comes with that as well is that you have much higher acquisitions. So you'll have a business like Instagram that has, you know, no revenue and yet will sell for, you know, $1 billion.
Yes.
You know, you'll get PE ratios, so price to earning ratios of 15 to 20 times. So, you know, if you make $1 million, the business is worth $20 million. Mm. Whereas if you're not a startup, if you're a traditional business, that's more like $3 or $5 million. So if you make $1 million, you might be able to sell for $3 to $5 million. Mm. I guess the opportunity and the growth is a lot faster, and therefore the business is worth a lot more for a lot less tangible, I guess, assets.
So the scalability is the important factor.
Yeah, rapid scalability, I think.
Let's get into the third question. What are the stages that a startup goes through?
Yeah, so I think this is quite a good graph that kind of shows essentially the ups and downs of a startup, yeah? It is a roller coaster. You tend to find a certain type of people start these businesses. They tend to, yeah, be, like I said earlier, very tenacious, kind of weather the storms. And you'll see one day they'll be on a high, next day on a low, next day on a high again. This is probably related to a lot of entrepreneurs out there. The startup space is, like, it's highly competitive. There's a huge failure rate. You know, 80 to 90% of these startups do not last past 2 years. The reason being that technology moves quickly, teams move quickly, you know, and you have to move fast. To make it work, you have to find your route to market. Again, it's not about the idea, it's about the implementation. But generally speaking, if you want to do a startup, the process you follow would be beginning, you know, get your core team, which might be just you and your business partner, it might just be you. You come up with the idea and you build out what we call a minimum viable product. So let's take something very simple, like, you know, something online. You'll build a very basic, you know, either online demo, it might even be a PowerPoint click-through dummy. What you want is something to basically test with a potential customer and see if they would use this. What you're doing is you're basically de-risking the idea. You're finding validation that, you know, there is a market out there, and if you have a payment model, that people will pay for this. So you test this, and then you take that proof and any early customers, and you generally go and raise some seed funding. This might be, you know, 300K, you know, 100 to 500K. You raise this, and the reason you do this is to build out your product, like build the actual, you know, the real product that will scale. Mm. Probably take on a couple of team members, like a couple of engineers, and maybe start to do some testing on marketing on Google AdWords and kind of see what the market acceptance is like. Through this process, you're really looking to take on lots of initial customers. So you want to kind of grow brands, you want to grow what you're doing, you want to work out where the challenges are, where the faults are, and this might take, 12 to 18 months to get this process under your belt. At that stage, you know, you have two options. You go and raise more funds, and you'll see this happen a lot more in the States than Australia. People go and raise, you know, a next round of $5 to $20 million. And what they're doing here is they're taking all that learning, and they're just accelerating it. And they're, you know, going like, you know, we've got 500 users, let's get 500,000 users. That's big money. And then the whole game changes. You know, you start to employ 30 people, 50 people, 100 people. You know, you start to buy masses of advertising. You start to really, really scale up. The other way, and this can be just as successful, is lots of businesses actually start making money in this first 12 to 18 months. And they get to a stage where they go, we don't have to raise any more money. We can actually grow off our own revenue, especially when they have something really, really, really engaging and valuable. Yeah. And this is actually often a better way to go because, you know, you're growing off your own revenue. You're not beholden to any investors. Mm-hmm. And then really what you're doing is you're still questioning how do we scale up? what are the next steps? Yes. As you grow, after this, needless to say, there's quite often acquisitions. So, you know, you always hear about companies being bought up for silly amounts of money. That happens quite a lot. You know, large businesses will buy young businesses because they're buying innovation. They're buying what they can't do, which most big businesses can't innovate truly. Lots of young businesses will sell and then go to a second stage of growth and integration into a large company. Others will keep growing and doing their own thing. So it's really that, I think, first probably 24 to 36 months, which is key, which kind of defines the future of the business.
It must be challenging because if you come up with this new idea, you've actually got to find a marketplace to sell it to, and you've got to introduce this new product really fast. That must be quite challenging in the first 2 years.
Yeah, this comes down, you have to be selling yourself all the time. But this, I think, ties into what you're doing here is that, you know, you need to learn to speak. I think this maybe comes afterwards. You need to get out there a lot. You need to sell yourself. You need to sell your business. You need to always be selling. You need to find partnerships that you can scale up through, bigger businesses that you can leverage, bigger networks you can leverage. Parts of technology you'll be integrating are to try and get your business to spread. Like a classic example is Dropbox. Dropbox, when they first started, said every friend you invite to use Dropbox will give you an extra 100 megabytes of storage for free. So one person would sign up and then they'd invite 10 friends. And then those 10 friends would invite 10 friends. And that was very clever because it allowed the business to scale with very little marketing input. It was actually driven by the existing users. So there are technology ways, but most of the time, it is about getting out there, selling yourself. You know, if you land a large brand, that could make your business. You know, if you get a large trusted brand who's going to be paying you 50 grand a month, that might give you that initial seed to really get your business going and go to the next level. But it's, you just got to be a salesman. You've got to hustle every day, every night, all the time.
And keep going at it.
And never stop for life.
So how long does it take, or is it always different for each product to actually start to see the benefits of the business, to see it growing?
I think a lot of people expect overnight success. Now, I'm just going to move indoors. I've been sitting outdoors and it's just starting to rain quite heavily. I think a lot of people expect overnight success, which is just not true in 99% of cases. A lot of the overnight successes you see in the world are actually driven by very, very clever decisions and very key partnerships behind the scenes. and funding to do that. So people expect overnight success. It generally won't happen because the business you start with is not the business you'll end with. Mm. And that's key. Because what you have to do is react to the market and change. Your initial idea, you'll find challenges with it. It won't be 100% correct. You'll find that the market is not picking up in the way you think, or you'll find that other markets come in and go, actually, we can use this. I mean, if you look at, I mean, let's take this offline and look at like an offline example. Look at GoPro. So GoPros do portable cameras. They're one of the biggest camera companies in the world now. They're worth billions. But they start off with very simply, a picture camera that you can strap to your wrist, a waterproof picture camera with a Velcro strap. And the idea was that surfers could go out in the water and photograph each other surfing. Yeah. Fast forward, 10 years' time, look at GoPro today, and it's all about video cameras. It's all about, they make their own cameras. They're all wide-angle lenses. It's all about how you strap it to your body if you're a snowboarder or a windsurfer, or you're going on safari. It's very, it's in the same space, but it's a very different product. And that's been driven by technology changes and market changes. Online, that process would happen in a couple of years rather than 10 years because technology moves a lot faster. In mobile, take-up changes, smartphones are changing every minute. So you start and then you start to learn, I think, your industry. And this, again, I mean, for us, it's been about a two-year journey to get to where we really start to understand what it is we're doing, really where the value is, how we're competing and out-competing our competitors in the industry. I think after 2 years, you develop an expertise, and that's probably 2 years in any industry. Suddenly, you are the expert. You understand the slight nuances that people not in the industry would not get, and those little slight changes, those little bits of understanding it and inspiration are what will make your business succeed where others will fail. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So that brings us up to our next question about what can help make a startup a success.
Okay, so that is, again, a few things here. I think, number one is the team, like without doubt. This counts for the founders as well. The founders, you need to be tenacious. You need to stay with it. You need to believe in your idea. You need to be able to weather the storms and keep going. But at the same point, you need to be very flexible. You need to listen to what the market's telling you. If your idea is not working, you need to realize that and not hold it precious. You need to be able to change it, and adapt and find out where the value really is. And if it's not working, then drop it and try something else as well. But don't give up too early, I would say. Beyond the founders, it's the team. Having a strong team, having the people who will be there with you when you need them, when they work with you, and have the experience and the expertise, and listening to that team and growing together is incredibly valuable. And in fact, when you raise money, this is what investors will look for above and beyond everything else. They'll look at the team and say, if I invest in this team and this idea doesn't work, what's plan B? What's happening next? Are they going to give up or quit, or are they going to keep going and actually get to the end goal? Even if it takes a little bit longer than we anticipated. So number one, team in every way. I think next comes the ability to move quickly. And most startups have this. Large corporates, to be honest, cannot innovate. They all talk about innovation, but they can't. Once you get to a certain size, you are a slow-moving, lumbering giant. Young companies can change on a dime. They have low overheads. They have low brand value. They can change what they're doing tomorrow. And we've done this a few times. And that ability to change is your biggest asset, actually, off the team. Because you can move around, you can take opportunities where others couldn't, and you can really make your startup move fast. Thirdly, I would say does come down to probably funds, I think. Lots of startups are underfunded. It's not to say you need to go and raise too much money, but having funds so that you're not worrying about money on a day-to-day basis, and you can actually go and achieve your goals and try out things, is important. But it's important to know when to raise money and when to actually focus on revenue.
Go into a little bit of detail about the why you find funds.
whiny fun. So I think a lot of technology, or a lot of startup businesses are, you know, you need to have funds to actually build them in the first place. Mm-hmm. If it is, you know, an online business and it's unique and you're doing something proprietary, something that no one else has done before, then you need to build that from scratch, most likely. That might take 6 months. Now that 6 months, it might be you, if you're a technology developer, you could do that. But if it's not you, you need to take people on board. And that might be a founder who does it for free, or it might be an employee who you have to pay. You might need to license other technologies. You've got hosting costs. You know, I mean, these are not huge, but they're still costs that are there. You might need a team of 4 or 5 people to really get your idea to where it's going. Again, that's going to involve employing some people, which is good because you then build a strong team. Then you have things like just small things like getting into an office space. If you need to do a trip to the States to talk to a client, you know, you're going to need to take that trip. You need to take lots of risks and really push the opportunities. And then you need to think of things like marketing. You know, you might want to start testing Google AdWords and finding out, you know, how you can get clients online rather than just offline. Again, it's about scale. You might want to start testing that and putting some money into advertising and PR. Yeah, it kind of depends on what stage your business is at. When you start to go and raise, you know, your second round and your big money, yeah, this is really going on, you know, growing your team from 10 people up to, you know, 100 people in a matter of, you know, a few months. That takes a lot of money behind you. Obviously, the idea is by doing that, that within 6 months to maybe 2 years, you'll then be making huge profits from that growth. And you've also going to move quickly to compete. You know, technology is a fast-moving space. If you do something, somebody else can do it too. You may patent things, but other people can patent other things and come in, you know, just next to you. It's very hard to completely control what you're doing. So one of the biggest ways to compete is to move quickly, get clients on board, get partnerships, and grow faster than your competitors. And, you know, if it needs to be down the line, then buy them out. So, yeah, it's about, yeah.
This is going back a step, but you've really got to be so clear on your vision to take these big risks.
Yeah, again, back to tenacity. You know, you've got to hold it to your guns, basically. Yeah. At times, it can be terrifying. I think every entrepreneur would admit that. We all have a brave face when it comes to public facing, but behind the scenes, you know, it is stressful. At the same point, when you have that vision, when you know that something will achieve, I mean, my own experience is that my business founder actually left and moved back to Europe about 7 months ago, which, you know, when you first start a business, you don't intend on happening, but people do change. We had differing visions of where the business should go. She also wants to move countries, so that happens. And when that does happen, you need to kind of, again, really hold the vision and know that what you're doing is right to keep going. But you have, like, when you're an entrepreneur or when you're this kind of person, I think you have generally a bit of a blind optimism, whereby, you know, you have this belief that things will work out, and that belief in itself actually drives you forward and makes other people believe in you, and often contributes to your success. So, yeah, I think the vision's not that difficult for the type of people who go into these businesses, because they, you know, they generally do have a lot of passion. But it is not an easy game. So if you want something easy, go and take a 9-to-5 job. But if you want to change the world and really live life to its fullest, then this is definitely the way to go.
The next question is, as a business owner, what's your advice about promoting your business by speaking?
Talk, never stop talking. I think, like, it's not to say that you need to be a salesperson. Again, obviously some businesses rely on sales, some don't. But you do need to be an advocate for your brand. In some businesses, you'll be a personality. You see some out there, you know, where the CEO or the CTO is a great personality, and people come to you and listen to them, and that just feeds into their business. They might not be talking about their business directly, but that can really help. Other businesses, the people running it are not important, but they will offline be in, you know, in events and situations where they're talking to prospective clients all the time. I think the way you speak will be reflected by your brand, and then conversely, the brand is often driven by the kind of person you are. But I think across the board, you will be talking a lot. You know, whether it is pitching to clients, pitching to investors, pitching to the public, pitching to your team, trying to get your team on board behind you. Transparency is key, I think, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know, as a leader, you've got to drive your team towards the same vision that you have, and you can't do that by sitting in a back room keeping quiet. You know, you need to be that leader that people can follow. So, look, speaking is just integrated into everything you do. A lot of these conversations are starting to happen online, obviously. There's ways that you can scale up how you speak by doing things like this.
Yeah.
But you know, never underestimate the importance of even just those one-on-one conversations. And if you can get on stage in front of, you know, 500 prospective clients, doesn't matter if you're terrified to do it, just get up there and do it, because it will help. You know, people start to recognize the brand. They start to get to know you. I mean, it's especially key for us because we do video. And we do video of people. So all of our business is built around people speaking on camera. And what you find is that people still buy from people, you know. People trust people.
Yeah.
So when you come across genuine, people actually get to see you talking, then they want to get involved with whatever it is you're doing. To the extent that, you know, you build this massive advocacy, and it'll be into you and then into your brand.
Well, thank you. Then that brings us on to your startups. Would you like to give us a bit of an overview about Verbate and Vimily?
Well, I'll just talk about Verbate because that's kind of really where we're going.
Okay.
I talked about this kind of two-year learning process. Vimily was our original brand. Verbate is really our reinterpretation of what we're doing and our strategy,
mm-hmm.
and that will become the brand going forward. So what we do is video feedback. So we have the simplest technology in the world for collecting video off either customers or team. We simply text out a link, or you simply text out a link for the system. People click on that and it opens up their smartphone camera. They can then video an answer to specific questions, and that comes back into your account for you to use. Now, where this is used primarily is research. So we do a lot of consumer immersion. So if you like, it's kind of focus groups on track. We take people out of that sterile environment of focus group, and we actually get them to film themselves in their home, in the natural environment. And you get this wonderful quality of content back that is amazing for gathering insights. Mm-hmm. So you have, you know, we've had parents going through the wardrobes of their children, they're picking out the clothes that they love the most. We've had people taking us around their cars, showing us what they do and don't like about the car. We've had even had people take us shopping on camera. This, compared to focus group, is so much better for actually understanding your users. It's also a lot more cost effective because you're not having to bring people into a room because you're using their own devices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot faster. You know, a project that might have taken, you know, 5 to 6 weeks traditionally, or even today, using Verbate, you do it in 5 to 6 days. It's amazing. So we're allowing business processes to work, you know, more effectively and faster. The other area it's used is actually internally. So doing a lot of employee feedback. You know, a lot of large corporates have KPIs to match with employee satisfaction, this kind of thing. When you have employees talking on video rather than just giving you a written survey, taking that video and showing it to the board and saying, here's our team and here's what they're saying, is a vastly powerful way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly as you're saying, you know, people love watching and listening to people speak rather than just reading what they've written. So as far as getting change to happen in an organization, seeing real humans talking camera is more powerful than any other method. So it's all about people, it's all about speaking, but we take the visual element as well as audio.
Fantastic. So do you need to have the mobile phone number?
So it works to go in a little bit deeper. You can email anyone in the world, an invite as well. We also give you a what we call a public link, which is a link that can be placed into, let's say, a MailChimp or Campaign Monitor, an email campaign to your 10,000 users. It can also be placed on Facebook or on a website, and anyone clicking on that is taken to an interview process. If somebody clicks that link and they come into the email on their desktop camera, or, I mean, sorry, on their desktop computer, when they follow that link, we actually have an option where they can input their own mobile number just to send that interview to their phone, which makes it very easy for them to open up their smartphone camera and film.
Yeah.
If you do have people's mobile numbers, it's a very fast way to get there, but you don't need that at all.
Okay.
But it does use mobile number technology across all the processes just to get that interview onto the phone. And most importantly, I think the key thing here is there's no app. There is nothing to download. It is literally a link that people click on and their camera opens. And that, as a piece of technology, is groundbreaking. It hasn't really been possible the last few years. Now, again, it's about staying at the front of the curve. By making it that simple, where you have just two steps, we find we get about 7 times the response rate of any other technology out there. Even things like Instagram and Vine, because it's just that much easier.
Sounds fantastic. Certainly an exciting area to be working in, Matt.
It is. It's new and it's changing day by day.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, we talk about vision, but it's kind of, it has to be slightly open-ended in this industry because, technology breakthroughs can change kind of where you take this.
Yeah.
I mean, even now we're looking at things like facial recognition and trying to extract more data from video to give more value to people who are using the videos.
Yeah.
There's a lot more you can do there. Essentially we're trying to understand human communication and visual communication.
Yeah.
And that's a much, much bigger picture than what we're doing right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, very exciting area to be working in. And, I'll sign up on Verbate and test it out.
Definitely. Have a go.
Yeah.
It's completely free to use for 14 days. So anyone wants to give it a go, even if you just want to collect a few testimonials off a few clients, try it out.
Yeah.
Get the video and just use it. It is the most powerful form of communication.
Okay, well, thank you, Matt, for your time and our discussion today. It's really been fantastic hearing your approach to startups and what's involved with it. You're certainly at the cutting edge of technology today.
Yeah, thanks for the time as well, Adrian. It's been great. Thanks for listening to us.
Yeah, well, thank you, and thank you to our listeners. And been a great session with Matt, and we look forward to our next session, which is on the 8th of August. See you then. Thanks.
Take care.